One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
All right.
Here we go.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Midwest Mary. Thanks for hanging out with us today. Matt picked the topic today, and it's something that we have not always been good at in our lives. It's all about boundaries today and setting boundaries and sticking to boundaries and maybe instances where that hasn't happened perfectly or beautifully, or maybe there's instances where there really are no boundaries at all and there needs to be. So, I'm Amy.
And I'm Matt.
And it's just us today. So we're kind of doing a little day date.
Yeah.
So let's get to it.
All right. I'm going to just jump right in.
Okay.
With a Reddit story.
All right, do it.
Am I the asshole for telling my mom's husband to never speak to me again and threatening to cut off contact with my mom if she doesn't set boundaries with him?
Heavy. Okay.
Yeah.
Go for it.
My mom is remarried to Tom. They live in a different state, but I visit my mom a few times a year. Recently, my mom had a medical emergency, so I rushed to see her. When I arrived, Tom seemed upset, but he said it was just because he was tired from work. When we ordered food, I offered to pay for myself, but Tom insisted on paying. I declined because I try not to take advantage of my mom's generosity, which some family members have done in the past. When we got home, Tom immediately snapped, saying, "When you come to my house, you need to tell me, not just your mom." I laughed it off and said, "All right, Tom." The next day, he ordered pizza, but only got what he wanted, ignoring what I had asked for. Again, I let it slide because I didn't want to stress my mom out. Later, when my mom and I decided to watch a movie together, Tom got angry and left the living room. The following day, we went out for dinner, and Tom was clearly trying to provoke me. First, he made a snide comment about how my brother should name his kid after my mom, saying, "Oh, you'll finally have a mini you," despite knowing I'm already named after her. Then he made a point of saying, "I can pay for all of us tonight. I'm not a poor man," even though I never suggested he was. The final straw was when he started lecturing me about needing to travel the world and experience different cultures. I couldn't take it anymore, and I told him to stop. I walked out of the restaurant to cool off because I know I handle my anger best by creating space and grounding myself in reality. When I returned, Tom was blocking my mom's car door. She decided to ride with me, demanding we talk before leaving the restaurant. He accused me of disrespecting him by walking out. I told him that he was disrespecting me multiple times, and this was the last time it would happen. He wouldn't talk to my other siblings this way. He's only ever done this to me. I'm the only one who's ever embraced him. This man has cussed me out on the phone, sent me crazy text messages, and more. Very childish, very self-centered, very much a man-child. He begins this religious rant about Muslims and Christians and ultimately using religion to justify his actions, and that whatever he does, I have to let it go. Because God says if man apologizes, I must accept it and move on, which the man has never apologized. During his narcissistic rant, he also accused me of trying to kill him because I cranked my car. Yes, I cranked my car and cut on the AC. Absolutely ridiculous. Anyways, I said everything I needed to say and then I drove off. In the car, I told my mom that if she doesn't start standing up for me and setting boundaries with him, I'm done with her as well. The next morning when I went to pick up my things, Tom was still trying to provoke me, now threatening to divorce my mom. I told him fine, got my things, and left. Later, my mom called to say Tom told her she had to choose between him and her kids. She said she chose us and is planning to leave him. I don't doubt she chose us. I'm more so hoping she's serious on leaving him. I'm worried about her safety with this lunatic. He seems unhinged. I'm mostly here to vent, but am I the asshole for telling my mom's husband to never speak to me again and threatening to cut off all contact with my mom?
No, not the asshole. I think it's pretty clear that Tom is the asshole in this situation over and over and over again. Really, just being kind of a terrible human. Like, why would people want to be around you if you're just constantly criticizing and nitpicking people? I mean, that's not fun. If you're not open to how other people are going to experience life, or even just, you know, it doesn't mean that you have to do things the same way, but allowing other people to live their own life. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of an important thing, especially if you are a step parent. It sounds like they have completely different backgrounds and upbringings, at least religion wise. They're trying to meld, you know, Christianity and Muslim beliefs. And so I think that that might be a contentious point. Maybe not. Maybe they seem to have worked it out, but it seems like, at least for in the story, he brings up religion to justify his bad behavior, which I hate. I hate when people do that. So not the asshole for that, but I would say that before cutting mom off altogether, because OP doesn't really talk much about mom, right? Mom had a medical emergency. It seems like mom is just kind of there and observing all the bad behavior and probably just staying quiet and just like, you know, my guess is that she's trying to avoid conflict altogether, right? Mm-hmm. I would first, instead of cutting my mom out of my life altogether, I would say, hey, I'll continue my relationship with you, but I'm not going to have Tom be in it. So I want you to come visit me, or when I visit you, let's go get a hotel room and hang out and be together. At this point in time, they're only seeing each other a few times a year anyway, because they must not live in the same city or town.
Right.
So that wouldn't be something that would really, I think, cause a lot of problems there. You know, if it's just twice a year, why can't you go rent out an Airbnb and go do something fun together, right?
Right.
And Tom does not have to be included.
Yeah, I agree with that point. I didn't realize or didn't understand why she couldn't just hang out with her mom separately.
Yeah.
Or, you know, get the hotel, get an Airbnb, have her mom come to her 100%. But there are some financial implications to that as well, maybe, where maybe it's not as easy for them to get together, especially if they don't live in the same area.
Right. Or maybe there's a friend's house nearby that you don't have to spend money then on a hotel or an Airbnb.
Yeah, good
point.
Or an
aunt or, you know, another family member. Like, I would hope that there would be some other options. Or ship Tom off. Tell Tom to go take a hike for a few days if he's causing all the issues. So I would hope that would be the boundary that would be set before just cutting mom out.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think then to isolate mom with this terrible human of a terrible human being wouldn't be the best scenario.
Sure.
As for her asking for a divorce from him, well, it seems like their marriage has more problems than just this one interaction. It sounds like she made the right call there.
Yeah. I agree. I would also say that I have a very hard time setting boundaries with family.
I think you do.
Specifically, I've stuck to a couple, but I don't even really know how to set a boundary, like specifically.
I think the first thing you need to do is identify, you know, what the problem is, right? And sometimes that's easier said than done, right? So maybe we start with like defining, well, what does the world actually mean by, well, what is a boundary? It's kind of like a hot word. You hear it thrown about all over the place recently.
I think it's trending right now.
It's trending, right?
Yeah.
But what actually is it? What does it mean? Well, according to the internet.
I love it.
So a boundary is, as far as the psychological perspective goes, they are the limits we set to protect our emotional well-being and maintain healthy relationships. They define what is acceptable and unacceptable in interactions with others. And so there can be different types of boundaries, like physical boundaries, emotional boundaries, but even boundaries like digital or time or material boundaries. Like you can set boundaries with yourself, even like screen time boundaries, for example, that would be the digital. So very different forms. I think we're talking mostly today boundaries within relationships and emotional boundaries.
I would think so.
And they're really important because they actually promote self-respect. They maintain your identity and who you are as a person and enforce that idea that you're important as an individual. And it overall, by having these boundaries and sticking to them, it can reduce stress and enhance your personal well-being. One of my favorite thoughts about boundaries in general, and when I think about boundaries, is a boundary is what I will do if whatever such and such boundary I have set up is crossed. It's not a what someone else will do. Like the boundary isn't, you just can't come over to my house. The boundary is, if you come over to my house, then I will such and such. I will lock the door. I will leave. I will call the police. So I feel like that version or that idea of a boundary for me creates a sense of power and authority. And so when I try setting boundaries, I try to keep that in the back of my brain. Mm-hmm. What will I do in response to my boundary being crossed? And then that is my boundary.
Sure. Okay. So I am going to throw this out there. I thought this was a really good topic because you're really good at setting boundaries and I am not. And I'll have more to say, but I think for me, being a people pleaser, that I don't set boundaries because I'm trying to appease everybody else around me. And I'm always the one adjusting to other people. And to set a boundary also means that you have to have a confrontation of some sort, or not that it's a confrontation in a bad way, but you have to confront the reason why you're putting a boundary out there. And that seems scary.
I mean, I guess it can, but I think that if you don't have any boundaries, then you're not really respecting yourself as far as embracing what your limits are. And really what you feel comfortable and what your limits are makes you you. And maybe there's a lot of scenarios and situations where, yeah, your boundaries are really like fluid. And maybe you really just don't care about A, B, or C. And it's okay to let somebody else decide what they want to do in certain situations. Mm-hmm. But things that are important to you, it's important to kind of throw that people-pleasing tendency out the window. And I am, like, I'm guilty of that too, I think. You know, I like to make sure that everybody's taken care of and that everybody else emotionally is feeling okay. I think that since having kids, I've stepped up a little bit more and have been like, okay, no, there are specific things that I'm not going to compromise on because they're important to me. And especially, you know, with raising your kids, it's like the most important job that you have. So if you have thoughts and perspectives and limits, like those are important enough to be talked about and important enough to feel that conflict and to feel that, that I guess that little bit of stress, but it doesn't have to be stressful. A boundary could also be something like, oh, I'm vegetarian.
Yeah.
Right. Like that technically is a boundary too. And you can just say that to, like, you're at a restaurant. Oh, hey, do you want to try my chicken? Oh, no, thank you. I'm vegetarian. Right. Like, yeah. There it is. That's a boundary. I don't eat meat.
There it is.
So it doesn't have to have a whole bunch of conflict in it.
Sure.
So it can, though, especially for big things like the story that you had just read.
So I have another story then that might be more in relation to some of our boundary struggles.
Hmm, okay.
But it's a listener write-in.
Let's hear it.
And they have questions.
We may or may not have answers. I don't know. We'll find out.
This list.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now. Now at kosai.org.
Listener wrote in and asked, how do you create boundaries within your own family? How do you communicate there are certain boundaries needed? Matt and Amy, I'm 27 years old and I'm struggling to create healthy boundaries with my parents and my siblings. For more context, I am a first generation Mexican American. I graduated with a social work degree. I currently work two jobs because I need experience and need the money. There are times when my family come to me for financial support or emotional support. My parents are very old school and they rely on me for technical assistance as well. The line of work is very stressful at times, and I work with individuals who are intellectual or developmentally disabled. We monitor services and assist if needed. As for my part-time job, I work as a receptionist at the local parks and rec center. How do I tell them that most of the time I am very overwhelmed with the workload that I have or that I'm financially unable to help because I'm trying to save to pay off loans or to move out into a bigger space without them thinking I'm being selfish or ungrateful for the support that I've received to get to this point in my life? P.S. I love y'all's takes in life and relationships and in general. I'm an original THT fan, but what made me gravitate towards y'all's podcast was the genuine love and respect for y'all that you have for each other. Very admirable.
Oh, that's really nice. Yeah, tough scenario, but I think you're halfway there already because you've identified what it is you want to say, and then it just comes around to saying it, allowing that opportunity to come up. And then laying it out there and talking about your feelings. So what was the first one? The first one is basically time. So it's going to be a boundary mm-hmm. about your time. It sounds like you are really busy working two jobs. You also need to make sure that you're carving time out for your own self and mental health, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so really being forthright about, you know, I would love to be able to go, but right now, I am tapped out. I have these other responsibilities to do, or I'm just not able to make it tonight. Sometimes you don't need to give a reason. Say, hey, you know, I'd really love to, but I just can't. I just can't.
Yeah. And you may end up hurting some people's feelings through that process.
You might, but you know what? They are allowed to have their feelings about whatever boundaries you set.
Right.
That kind of has to be separate, but in order to maintain that healthy relationship, that's not codependent, because right now, maybe your family has a little bit of a codependent relationship with mm-hmm. you. If you'd like to create that space, then it kind of needs to happen. And then trust that they're your family and they're going to come back around. Right? They're not going to just throw you to the wolves because a Wednesday night, you can't make it to the family get together. So it might feel like it in that moment, especially if they haven't grown or come to that space to have that understanding. But they should, as your family, as a loving family, no doubt, mm-hmm. Especially if they're close enough to have supported you throughout all the years, they should be able to recognize or at least respect, okay, yep, if you say you can't make it, then we trust you that you can't make it. So also then defining, is there a specific like time that you're not willing to cross and time that you are. So maybe it's Sunday evenings. You just need Sunday evenings for yourself. Maybe that's it. So being clear about, okay, hey, you know, that takes place during such and such time. Unfortunately, I'm busy during that time. I can't make it, but maybe I can make it later on in the week, mm-hmm. right? Sometimes it takes that self-reflection to know exactly what you need and what you want. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you feel the feeling, but you don't know how to get past that feeling, right? Maybe it's time to yourself, or maybe it's time with a friend, or maybe it's something else entirely, but you need to sit down and figure out, okay, well, what is the need and how do I achieve that need?
I think you nailed a lot of good points. I think that having to set boundaries within my own family has been very difficult in the past. We've opted to set the boundary in the past where our kids weren't allowed to go and stay at my mom's house for a period of time when she had a boyfriend without us there, right? We were always, mm-hmm. we made that line in the sand that mm-hmm. we're not going to send our kids there to stay overnight mm-hmm. unless we're there. Yeah. And that's a hard conversation because at the time, my mom didn't understand why, mm-hmm. but it was in our belief that this is what was best for our children. So we mm-hmm. stuck to that. Mm-hmm. Difficult, but ultimately, my mom still loves us, still mm-hmm. loves the kids. So
yep.
there were no long-term repercussions. Yes, there was some bickering at times amongst us, but it was something that we had to set because she just didn't understand.
Right. And while we trust your mom 100% implicitly, there were just some other factors in that, right? Like it was a yep. distance, you know, 2 hours away from our hometown and the support system, your mom not having a support system up there. If anything were to happen, God forbid,
yep.
It's on a lake and totally acknowledging my water phobias surrounding my kids who can't swim. Right.
yep.
So like there's multiple things and not that anybody needs to justify any reasons, right? If you feel like something's important, it's okay to go ahead and stick with your beliefs.
Right.
You also though, I'm thinking of a time where your family wanted to do something really, really nice for your grandma, which I wish we could have participated in. Mm-hmm. And they all chipped in and were able to purchase your grandma a new car, which she really, really needed. And luckily they were all in the financial situation that they were able to do that. And unfortunately, you and I, in where we are in our lives, just did not have extra few thousands of dollars in order to donate yeah. towards that cause.
It wasn't a huge extravagant bill by any means. It was only a couple grand is what was asked, but
which is still a lot.
It's still a lot of money.
Right.
So at the time with everything we had going on in life, building the house still, it just wasn't something that we were able to do. And we have our own goals to accomplish. Mm-hmm. And for, you know, the story here is, yeah, you want to move out of your house or your mm-hmm. space, apartment. Maybe it's to move into a house. I'm not mm-hmm. sure. It just said space. So yeah, unfortunately, money doesn't grow on trees, even though I spend it like it does. So
what you're working on, right? On
it really hard.
Aren't
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
Aren't
I
you?
Am.
Yeah. So in that situation, you just, you know, you were invited to contribute. Hey, you want to help pitch in? And you basically said, hey, no, you know, we're just not able to do that right now.
Right.
But super awesome that you guys are able to do that. That's great. So mm-hmm. just knowing that your financial goals are just as important as maybe what's going on in their life financially also.
Right.
So, yeah. And especially with the money front, I've had the view that only lend money out that in your soul, you would be at peace if they never paid you back.
Yeah.
Like only lend out money that you're okay with gifting, basically. Because
you may never get it back.
You may never get it back. And
we have a situation like that currently.
Yeah. And is any of that, is that, that relationship worth it, right?
Correct.
So most of the time, especially with like people that you love and your loved ones, if you're able to help them out, then you don't want money getting in the way, because that can be really, really, really detrimental mm-hmm. to that relationship.
Yeah.
So that's just my, would I still love to be paid back for the loan? Yes, absolutely. Yeah. But am I going to let it destroy my relationship if I don't see it for another 10, 20 years or never?
Right.
No. So only lend out money that you're okay with never seeing again.
Yeah.
That's my philosophy on that. So that's not really a boundary. Well, maybe it's a boundary, I guess. I don't know.
No, I think that's, it's a boundary with yourself.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You're not necessarily setting it with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Well, we have some, because the question is, well, how else do I go about setting these boundaries? I looked up some articles. You ever, you remember the Magic School Bus show?
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel like that one character that's like, according to my research, mm-hmm. do you remember that character?
I know. I got it.
Okay. Well, that's
right.
Me. Here, I'm going to show you what my research has told me.
Okay.
So this is according to psychcentral.com. The first thing that you should try to do is to start early. So instead of years and years down the road, trying to incorporate boundaries into your life.
Yeah, I think that it's
just
like
the get-go.
With any type of change, if you have been accustomed to one thing and then you have somebody throw up this boundary that has never been set previously, that's going to be something much harder to adjust to.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Kind of harder when it's your family and you've grown up in your family. And a lot of times when you're growing up in something, your boundaries are whatever your family's boundaries were.
Mm-hmm.
And if they had none, then you're starting from scratch and there's really no way to start early, right?
Right.
Unless it's like the first time they've asked you for money or the first time that they've... I don't know, made a stink that you can't go to mm-hmm. such and such's birthday dinner or something
sure.
like that. So, but begin early if you can. So enforce those boundaries right from the get-go. Don't be scared. Don't be a people pleaser. if there's something that's really important to you, start off by declaring it from the get-go. Let them know you're vegetarian. It's okay. Number two, conversation is key. So no matter how awkward you might feel talking about your emotions or bringing up trickier subjects, a two-way discussion is vital in boundary setting.
I know you don't have to explain yourself when you mm-hmm. set a boundary, but I think that it helps save the relationship to some degree or alleviate some stress that would be on the relationship.
Sometimes it really communicates respect.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to explain yourself, especially if the person that you are... setting that boundary with is a reasonable person. And of course, if you're in that relationship, then they care about you, then they're going to hopefully respect your decision, especially when they know more of where you're coming from and
yeah.
the why behind the decision. They might not agree with it still, even if you explain yourself,
mm-hmm.
right? Like your mom didn't agree with our decision to keep our kids in town when we were gone versus... having them stay up north, but I think that it still fostered that respect
yeah.
instead of us just saying, no, they can't go, and that's it.
Also difficult because she was watching our kids, but...
Which we appreciated.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wholeheartedly, right?
Yep.
But she also had the opportunity to then to say, you know, I have to be up north. It doesn't work for me to be in Duluth during that period of time.
Right.
And had that occurred, then we would have just found alternate arrangements, right?
Correct.
Number three, use I statements. This brings me back to some sort of like psychology class or maybe high school. I don't know, the I feel statements instead of... You know, accusatory statements that make people go on the defense.
Sure.
You always, you are doing such and such, et cetera. You know, don't do that.
Yeah.
I statements.
I feel
more comfortable when my kids are being watched at home. I think that opens the door in so many different arenas to have a more conducive conversation with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's hard to do though, like, especially in the heat of the moment.
Yeah.
It's hard to remember to do. Like, you almost have to like take a pause and be like, okay, I'm supposed to say I. Okay. Mm-hmm. I feel that blah, 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 blah. So I statements or I think. Yeah.
All right. I think you should move on to the next one.
Okay. Number four, it's okay to ask for space. So again, with people pleasing tendencies, sometimes people put themselves on the back burner and just recognizing that as humans, that is a need that we may have. So it is absolutely okay. Well, let's see what's next then. Hopefully that helped a little bit. Just do it. Just lay the boundaries. Your family's going to love you regardless. And yeah, it might not be the most comfortable conversation. You might have to have it a couple times, but once you lay that boundary and people know what it is, hopefully then they'll just respect it moving forward. So good luck.
All right. I have a couple, and it was hard to find stories specifically around boundaries that were hot, but am I the asshole for giving my 37 male wife, 36 female, an ultimatum concerning a boundary I have and one of her close male friends? Essentially, my wife has developed a close relationship with this dude in our area that I was 100% fine with until New Year's Eve. On New Year's Eve, my wife and I had met up with some old friends and we went to a private party where she ended up getting more drunk than she had planned. On my way home, I saw that she had received a text message from this individual. She opened up the text, to which I could see that she had sent him a video of what she looked like that night, which was very nice.
Okay.
Which was very sexy. Mm-hmm. And his response was thanking her for the wardrobe malfunction. After we got home and she passed out, I looked at her phone and she did indeed send him a revealing video. I tried to confront her, but she was too drunk to be coherent. I let it be until the morning. After we had been awake for a couple hours, I confronted her again and told her she needs to cut off all contact with him or I would be leaving. She cried when I said cut off contact and cried harder when I said I would leave. Well, she told her friend, who, although was impressed with how I handled it and did agree with me, also said that she doesn't like that I gave an ultimatum and that it feels pretty controlling. My wife told me this, to which I replied, I'm just setting up a boundary. You can do what you want, but I will not stick around if you keep this friendship in light of these texts. I personally think this friend of hers doesn't like me and kind of wants my wife to leave me. I also think it's manipulative to tell someone their boundaries are controlling. So, am I the asshole? And there is an edit. Just to note that the friend she talked to is not the same person as the guy she sent the video to.
Okay. I don't think he's the asshole. Ew. What an icky situation. I don't think that it's super out of sorts or super uncommon to have a boundary in your relationship be, hey, Matt, I don't want you sending really revealing videos to friends of yours that are female. I mean, I also don't want you sending revealing videos to your friends that are male. But somehow it does feel a little different if you were going to be sending your girlfriends videos of yourself that were revealing.
Sure.
I mean, yeah, that would give me the ick as well. And it all also comes around to, well, what do you define as cheating? Is some people would say that is mm-hmm. cheating. Other people are like completely open and have no problems with it. And so defining what is okay in your relationship.
Right.
I think that's like the main thing. Maybe it's the first time that this has come up in their relationship, but unfortunately that betrayal has already landed, right? Is there ever any situation then that he is going to be comfortable with this other guy and her being friends and having this friendship?
Right. Probably not.
Probably not. Right?
Yeah.
So if he's like then taking time to do some introspection and being like, I am just never, ever going to be okay with this friendship. I will not be able to live my life in peace with my wife having this relationship with this other guy. If that is the case, then I think him saying, hey, we can't continue on if you're going to continue with this other relationship.
Yeah.
However, if that's not the case and they can have that conversation and say, okay, well, you know, maybe that's a step too far to ask you to abandon this friendship. But these are some other boundaries. This is what you can do to help me feel more comfortable in that relationship, if that exists. I'm not sure that it does. It might not. But if there are things that she's like, okay, well, can we meet in the middle? How about we only group text as a group, and I'm not going to have a private text with this person or so forth. Can we be more like acquaintances versus close friends?
So I'm going to throw this out there because it feels in our younger years, in our 20s, I had a lot more female friends that I associated with on an active basis, like hanging out. And I'm just trying to think back. I don't think I really ever from those female friends got videos of like them changing or dressing, like, you know,
gives you the ick.
If it's a picture, like a group, you know, it just, this seems like there is something a little bit more in wardrobe malfunction. Like, probably shouldn't have sent that off to a guy friend. So to me, it seems like there's more transpiring here behind the scenes that we don't really know about.
Right. That's why I'm like, oh, I don't think you're the asshole. If you've got your spidey sense up and you think that there's no way that you're going to feel comfortable with this relationship,
right,
then I don't think that that's out of line.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
I do remember this I was thinking about way back in our younger years, and I do feel like this, not this exact scenario, but a scenario where you had girlfriends that I was not comfortable with. And I think I probably did ask you to abandon those friendships that I was not comfortable with. And we were young, and you basically were upset and said no, and then I didn't stick to my boundary anyway and just went on with my miserable life and was mad and upset about them, and we fought a lot about it. So I guess that's an option too. Don't stick to your guns, don't have the boundary, and then just be a miserable human being surrounding that and accept that you're going to have lots of arguments and fights.
Yeah,
I don't recommend that. Don't do that.
Wasn't fun. Wasn't great. Fun. Wasn't great for us or our relationship.
Nope. Wasn't healthy.
And we've talked about that on other episodes, different time in our lives. We were in different places, and we were living very different lives at that point in time. And these individuals here are 37 and 36. So they're 1 and 2 years off from us now. And I could never imagine sending videos of myself to anybody.
No.
Other than you.
Right.
Even then, that's a stretch because... Got to be on camera then. That's just so. Yeah, I think major red flag. I went to the people's section. Not the asshole is the resounding vote here, but well noted. This is a big time red flag. If she's flirting with the other guy, she's cheating. If she's letting him flirt with her and making him feel like he has a chance with her, she's cheating. Loyalty would be shutting it down immediately. Sending sexy pictures of yourself is cheating. Even if you post the same shit on Instagram, sending that stuff to a specific individual/flirting with them is cheating.
See? Cheating. I don't think that it's super, super out there.
The girl, the wife and friend have successfully gaslit him into thinking he's doing something wrong by not allowing his wife to cheat. This won't end well for him. I feel bad for this dude. That shit would be game over right then and there.
Are they married or dating?
Well, in the title, it says wife. So, my wife.
Yeah,
essentially my wife has developed.
I thought they were dating.
No.
That makes They're it married. Worse. Makes it worse.
Unfortunately, this is not a difficult question for her. It shouldn't be. This is just, you're my husband.
Mm-hmm.
We're married. And mm-hmm. I'm going to respect this. And that's it. There's no other information of how this friendship developed or just some dude in the area is all we got. So,
and so then if she respected her husband and her marriage, she should then be able to say, hey, yeah, I'm sorry. That was wrong. Yep.
Yeah.
I agree. I'll cut ties.
So I went on ahead and I picked some stories, other ones that I felt like, again, we could tie in to our youth and how we've grown.
Okay.
Successfully.
Okay. There was one other thing, though, with that one.
Okay, hit me.
Which I think he was questioning, because I think they were kind of trying to gaslight him into thinking this.
Mm-hmm.
When does a boundary err from being a healthy boundary to being controlling someone, right? And manipulating someone. So, like, being controlling in disguise of, oh, it's just my boundary. For example, you can't wear that short dress out of the house because I don't allow my girlfriends to wear short dresses out of the house. Right?
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah. That feels icky. It's not really a boundary. That's being controlling and abusive.
Right.
So you got to be careful that you're not crossing into that territory either.
Yeah, I agree.
Right. So he wasn't. I don't think that, again, a boundary isn't about what someone else can't do. It's about what you will do if people are crossing your lines.
But for the record, no short skirts.
Yeah, right.
Am I the asshole for kicking my boyfriend's parents out of our apartment after his mom called me a bitch? Back in March, my boyfriend's parents decided they wanted to come wait quarantine out at our apartment. How old is this? Oh, it's 4 years old.
COVID story.
I don't know how I didn't catch that.
Wait out the quarantine. I wonder how long that is. That feels like it would be a long time. Okay. Read the story.
But for starters, they never asked. His mother called and told me that they were on their way and to prepare our spare bedroom for them. Feels like some boundaries should be set up right then. I was already apprehensive about them staying with us because his parents have always been extremely rude to me. They are overly critical of everything I say and do. They are massive control freaks who feel entitled to always be in charge. So right off the bat, things are miserable. They verbally abuse me daily, tell me what I can and can't do in my own apartment, and overall, they're the worst. Out of everything, the air conditioning caused the biggest debacle. Where I live, it's 85 to 90 almost every day. I normally keep my air on 70, but when they started complaining, I turned the air up to 75. This is already a little toasty for me, but I was willing to be a little hot to try to keep the peace. This wasn't good enough for them. They don't want the air on, period. They want the heat on.
What?
And they turn it on every single opportunity they get. I wake up in the middle of the night covered in sweat. I've told them to stop countless times. And yesterday, I finally cracked. I put about 10 pieces of duct tape over the thermostat with a note attached to it that said, "Do not touch the thermostat while I'm at work." 6 p.m., I walk into my apartment and I'm automatically hit by a hotter and more humid heat than it is outside. Duct tape and note have been torn off of the thermostat, and they have the heat at 98 effing degrees.
What?
I would die.
Yes, you would.
I go into the guest room and say, Why could you not follow the simple instruction of, do not touch the thermostat. This is my home, and I'm tired of you saying rude things to me. I'm tired of you treating me like a child and creating your own rules for my apartment. You either need to be respectful towards me and learn to accept my boundaries or go back to your own house. His mother said, and I disdainfully quote, you have no right to barge in here without knocking. That was not only an invasion of privacy, but you need to take the attitude out of your tone. I've dealt with much bigger bitches than you before. She went on for 30 minutes and I just tuned her out. When she was done talking, I told her to get out.
Wow.
Now my boyfriend is angry with me because I couldn't just let them have their way. He wants me to call his mom and apologize, but I don't think I should have to. I may have been rude to her, but it was only because I've spent the past 2 months dealing with her abuse and trying to politely ask her to stop treating me that way. I also got tired of my boyfriend refusing to defend me and allowing her to say and do whatever she wanted. I'm trying to understand their perspective, although it just doesn't seem reasonable to me. If Reddit determines I'm the asshole, I will call and apologize.
No, not the asshole. Not at all. They weren't even invited to your home. They invited themselves into your home and then have proceeded to disrespect you at every turn. And I don't know what more clear, how you could be more clear about the temperature in that you want set in your home for them to take off the duct tape and the note. Like, completely disrespectful. So I see, like, I can see how when you come home and it's almost like they were making a statement, you know, to be more hot in 98 degrees inside the apartment.
It's bananas.
That is bananas. They were for sure making a statement being like, no, it's my way. My way or the highway. They were trying to assert power and say who was actually in charge here. And this weird power dynamic between parents and children, which they are adults. And so it seems like the parents are having a hard time transitioning to letting these adults be there.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Own people.
Does anybody actually like it to be that hot? 98 degrees? Let's say it was 90 in the house. Who in their right mind, and maybe I'm off base here, everyone's different, but who would want that?
I don't know.
Like a balmy, like 68, 72? Perfect.
70s is great. I mean, she even made concessions and was like, okay, we'll do 75 if his parents are, you know, trying to be a good host and whatnot, if his parents were complaining that it was chilly.
75 I don't think is unreasonable. I have, my boss has his house set to 74 degrees year round.
Mm-hmm.
74. I think that's also a little hot. Like a nice fall night, you open up the windows, it gets down to like 60 in your bedroom. Very nice.
That is nice. Yeah. But still, then for I'm just going to call her mother-in-law, even though they're not married, for the mother-in-law to come at her and basically call her a bitch.
So
that's never okay. Name calling is never okay.
I didn't actually read the story, but that is why I picked this based on the title, because of name calling.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in our younger years, I don't think we did a lot of name calling, but
no, we were always very good about that.
Yeah, that's a good boundary that we have set.
Yeah,
for our relationship, we don't name call at all,
ever.
And it was very prevalent throughout my household. Name calling during arguments and different individuals throughout the house calling people names. And
so, how did you make that choice then to not progress with that? Because name calling wasn't in my, like, I did not grow up with people being okay with name calling.
I just think it's super disrespectful.
Did you make a conscious decision though not to, or how did that happen for you?
I don't know. I just didn't care for it. So I just never have.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I couldn't imagine calling you a bitch to your face.
Or to my back.
Jokes, people, jokes. So
funny.
I know, right? So yeah, name calling. Yep.
Name calling, never okay. I think that if anyone opens up that door and is going to disrespect you like that, especially in your own home, then you have the right to be like, peace, adios, get out of here. This is my house. That is a boundary. If you are going to come at me and call me names, then you cannot stay here. I think it's also awful that the boyfriend did not support the girlfriend in this whole situation. And it should never have come to this with his parents. He should have been the one to deal with the temperature issue, right?
Yeah.
He knew there was an issue. I'm sure she talked to him a million times to be like, hey, address this with your parents. I cannot live in a 98 degree house, right? And
yeah.
It was their home, not the parents' home. So it should have been his role to bring that up with his parents. I wonder again if he just grew up and is like, you know what, I'm going to take the back seat. If I bring it up, it's just going to be conflict because it always is.
People pleaser.
Let's just keep the peace and let them have their way.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. The people, again.
What does everybody else think?
Not the asshole. Which they're bringing up a point that I thought in my head is, this is potentially going to be your in-laws forever. Yes. If you marry your boyfriend.
I thought about that too.
Is that really what you want to marry into? And at this point, it's not looking good for you and future mother-in-law.
No.
So I would love an update what happened here, but
they have no updates.
Family's important. And if you have that heated of a relationship with the potential in-laws, probably not going to be great moving forward.
Well, also, if the in-laws felt comfortable enough just moving in with their son, they probably have a pretty close relationship with that son. It's not like
it's weird.
In-laws, yeah, maybe as your sister likes to say, maybe a little enmeshment going on. Who knows? But if your in-laws, if you absolutely do not get along with your in-laws and you see them once, twice a year, maybe not such a big deal. But if they're in the same town, if they are, you know, over all the time, if they're going to be a part of your usual daily life, then that becomes a really big deal. Mm-hmm. And so if you can't establish those boundaries now while you're dating, your life is going to be miserable once you are married, because that's just going to get worse. If your partner doesn't feel comfortable standing up to his parents now, it's not going to improve once you're married.
Right.
So might be just a huge red flag to get out of Dodge.
Yep. Well, yeah, right here. Get the fuck out as soon as possible.
Yeah.
This boy needs a lesson in life. Run as fast as you can. The biggest red flag should have been when the mother called and told you they were on their way.
Yes.
You should have told them to turn around immediately. I need to figure out what this stands for. Pretty sure she said it was her apartment and she should DTMFA, who can't say no to mommy.
Dump the motherfucker already.
Damn! You're good.
Somebody else brought it up.
There we go.
That's funny.
All right. No other major comments, but
I give her props for having the courage literally to throw them out.
Yeah.
Because there was one situation where I felt very belittled in my own home by someone and having a disagreement, they told me to shut up, which I mean, that I don't allow that either. Like, but I felt trapped because I felt like I couldn't, it was in my house, but I also didn't feel comfortable telling this person that they had to leave my house because they were a pretty close person to you. So that, and so I didn't. I look back on that and I wish that I could have had that courage to be, to set that boundary and say, no, you cannot speak with me that like that. You need to leave. And if you don't leave, then, I mean, how do you make a person leave your house if they're not going to leave?
Yeah.
I think the only way I can think of is to call the police. Is that really, like, I don't know.
That one would be tricky in this situation because it's, I mean, she would have to have her name on it. And I bet it would be difficult because the boyfriend is also living there. That would be a weird domestic situation that I don't think they'd be able to boot him, to be honest, especially during this time when COVID had just started. So,
I don't know. Maybe the people know. Maybe you guys know. I don't have experience in that situation. How do you get somebody to leave without, if they are refusing?
I have no idea. We gotta look it up. But I have one last story.
Okay. Let's hear it.
Shorter episode today. Took me a little bit to get into it, but I'm here.
Here we are.
I'm ready. Will I be the asshole for breaking up with my girlfriend because of what her dead boyfriend's dad said to me?
Oh.
And I thought about saving it because I have an episode idea that's going to come up here in the next couple weeks that I could have used this, but it's a short one. And
let's do it.
Here we go. My girlfriend's last boyfriend died in a car crash some years ago. My girlfriend told me about this when we became official. Now she's still close to her dead boyfriend's mom and dad, and she wanted to introduce me to them. I thought it'd be awkward, but I decided to go along with it. After all, she mentioned that she considers them just like her own parents. We visited them a few times, and the dad made some comments. One time, the dad talks up how manly his son was, how he used to work on cars, how you could always tell he was a real man because his hands were always dirty. I hate getting dirty.
You're not a real man.
Yeah. I still...
I'm just kidding.
Dang it. He asked me what I did for work, and I work as an accountant. He said, yeah, I could tell it was something like that. Your hands haven't seen real work. It's been like this every time we visit. He mentions how great his son is at something, asks me something, and then says how unmanly I am. I've talked to my girlfriend about it, but she just says I'm being insecure and I shouldn't feel threatened by it. I told her I don't want to visit them anymore, and we got into a pretty big fight. She said that maybe the dad is right, and I need to be more manly then.
Oof. I think, first of all, that accountants are very manly.
If anybody has seen Amy during tax season and how she despises doing taxes, and not doing taxes, just gathering the info.
I get so stressed by the forms and all the questions. I like, have you sold any? What if I secretly sold some stock that I didn't know about? I don't know. It's sometimes I think that the questions are like trick questions.
You got a lot of stock out there that you're hiding from me?
I don't know. I've got a 401k. What if something, I don't know.
Moving on.
Moving on. Yes, I think accountants are very manly. I send my accountant during tax season a gift card to Starbucks every year with a thank you note personally saying, thank you for taking care of this because this is my worst nightmare. Moving on from that, that's beyond the point. I think it is completely reasonable for him to say, I don't feel comfortable with visiting these people. It feels like a strange dynamic. I don't feel welcomed into their home or into having a relationship with them. Mm-hmm. Certainly doesn't feel like that. And so that doesn't mean that she needs to cut them out of her life. Like, he's not saying that. He just doesn't wish to go and visit them is what I'm reading from it.
Right.
Right. I also don't like when she is saying, you shouldn't feel, what did she say? You shouldn't feel
insecure.
Because nobody should be downplayed for their feelings. Right. Right? Like, you are allowed to own your feelings and feel the way that you feel in that situation. And also, I think that he has all the right to feel those feels in that situation. Mm-hmm. So I don't care for that. situation that she's saying that. And then it really takes a turn when she says, well, maybe you should be more manly. Well, she needs to sit down and really think about that sentence. I'm upset that you're saying this, and so I don't really mean it, but I'm going to say the wrong thing in a fight or in this situation. Or if she really does mean that, well, maybe you guys are just not.
I don't think she's gotten over her ex.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Doesn't seem like it.
Right?
She might not be ready to move on in another relationship, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at. I just think that she hasn't really moved on, and there's some grief and sorrow, and sometimes that can come out angrily, right? You're lashing. At this point, she's lashing out because she doesn't really know how to deal with that situation with the boyfriend and the dad. And
well, and who would know how to deal with that situation? But
it doesn't
seem like you're ready. And the dad is for sure not ready.
Well, right. But, and this is also not her dad. It's the
dead boyfriend's dad.
And
maybe he thought of her as his daughter or his future daughter, right? If they had that close of a relationship.
Right.
And so he sees the new boyfriend as a replacement for his son. I mean, there's got to be a lot of feelings on his end. Not that he would ever need to be the one to, like, if she was.
Again, they don't go into the deep backstory of how close they were, how long they dated. Is this a high school relationship? Is it a college relationship? It seems if she is considering them as parents, my guess is that this was a relationship that started out young, went quite a ways down the line. And yeah, this dad is comparing and like, you're not good enough.
You don't measure up to my son. Or maybe he feels like to accept anybody else would be an affront to his dead son.
So, got an update.
Okay, let's hear it.
I broke up with her. After talking to some friends and reading some of the comments, I realized that this kind of behavior from both the dad and girlfriend was unacceptable. I didn't say anything to the dad since I hadn't gotten a chance to see him since last time. Anyways, I think I gave them slack due to the tragedy of what happened, but I think I gave them way too much. As harsh as this sounds, I'm so relieved I won't ever have to hear about her dead boyfriend ever again.
That's okay, too.
What
had some of the people been saying in the comments that made him come to that realization?
So there's two different posts. Be more assertive. It's okay to not go and hang out with people that insult you. I find moisturizer goes a long way. Maybe recommend it to your son. Is the second most upvoted comment. He's looking. The internet. Oh, the internet. He's looking kind of ashy.
That's awful.
I'll cut it.
I mean, it's okay, but I mean, people are clever, but that's pretty awful.
Oof, that's bad. Maybe the dad didn't always think like this. Maybe he's just grieving for the loss of his son and doesn't want anyone to replace his son's position in the girlfriend's life. It's entirely possible he's trying to be intimidating and comparing OP to his son because he feels protective. Grieving people are assholes sometimes because they're sad. Doesn't make it right, but sometimes it's facts.
I mean, it sounds like he made the right decision. It sounds like he has no regrets on his decision and that he feels like the weight's off his shoulders. And I agree with you. It doesn't sound like she's ready for another boyfriend. And if she's going to continue that relationship and wants her future significant other to be a part of her deceased boyfriend's parents' lives, doesn't sound like they're ready for it either.
Mm-hmm.
So to be respectful to them, they might need to kind of come to an agreement.
Prior to them breaking up, OP did try to bring it up again. And girlfriend did not apologize. She said that I was overreacting and we could talk about it. I explained to her that I had tried and she told me that I should just leave then.
Again, the being dismissing of your feelings, you're overreacting. those are not healthy ways to deal with situations. You're not acknowledging your partner. You're devaluing your partner. Never good ways to resolve conflict. And yeah. It never gets you where you want to be in the end. So
I think he made a firm, manly decision.
Yes, very. Yes.
Very manly.
Very manly.
Per the people.
Yes.
For today, because we have to go pick up the kids off the bus, that's all we have on boundaries. Okay. I think we can probably come back to it at some point.
Yeah, I think that sounds good. So, to recap, though, I think first identifying the need for the boundary and what that is, because if you're going to set that boundary, what is it that you need? Defining what that boundary specifically is going to be. It can't just be I need to spend less time with you. Well, what does that actually mean? What does less mean? Mm-hmm. It needs to be specific, right? And then remember that a boundary, to give yourself that control and that power, which is what boundaries ultimately should do, it should validate who you are as a person. Keep in mind that a boundary is how you will respond if someone crosses what you've decided to set and what that line is. And then I think lastly, if someone does cross that, be prepared to absolutely deliver on that promise. Like, you have to do that step, right?
Right.
So that's those are my thoughts in general for boundaries.
Yeah. So. I think you nailed it. Boundaries are tough from a people pleaser standpoint, but I think that important. They will ultimately alleviate some of the stress that you're going to feel.
Yeah. Are you going to set some new boundaries?
Probably not.
You'll think about it.
I'll think about it.
You'll think about it next time.
I'll think about it next time. All right. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you.
Please be sure to like, follow, and subscribe. Appreciate you.
Bye.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know that many products for pregnant women do not have their own clinical trials for safety or efficacy? That's because pregnant women are often excluded from clinical studies. Ritual is aiming to set a new standard with their essential prenatal multivitamin. It's the number one best-selling prenatal and the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Moms taking Essential Prenatal had a lower overall cortisol level during pregnancy than those taking a leading prenatal. Plus, it's designed to be gentle on the stomach. Ritual doesn't just have your back. They have the receipts. Get 25% off at ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.